This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Out, these people are being attacked. These people are being physically hurt, emotionally even sabotaged by their families, which we'll hear about soon. They're being physically attacked. They're being psychologically sabotaged. Every possible way you can imagine, they're being attacked. So the only way that they could honestly have an outlet was, number one, themselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at that point in time taught them that your main outline for any difficulty in your life should be the prayer. And we went through some of those prayers that sometimes, subhanAllah, you know, one of the brothers came up to me, he's like, you know, I haven't heard that before. Because unfortunately what happens is, we go to, hey, what is the dua for laziness? Type in Google, duaforlaziness.com, right? Or we go, what's the dua for my final exams? Duaforfinalexams.com, right? What happens is it becomes mechanical. It doesn't become where you're talking to Allah. Whereas you can see from the very early part of the Prophet's life, it's a conversation. It's talking to Allah. It's yearning for Him. This is what the Prophet taught. This is what the Quran taught. It's a direct, like a discussion. Just like when you saw Umar ibn al-Khattab, he was having thoughts of, oh, this is just a crazy man, like the Quraysh mentioned. And Allah subhanAllah made it so that the revelation of Surah Al-Haqqah responded to him. Who can do this? Only a creator, omnipotent, who is in charge of the world and universe, can make your life events be answered by the Quran. Doesn't that sound kind of familiar? This is what happened in the life of Umar. Similarly, it happens in our lives. If you go back to your day-to-day life and the difficulties that you face and you call sincerely to Allah like the Prophet ﷺ taught, you will find that when you read the Quran, it's as if it's talking to you. And it becomes very freaky almost. It becomes very, like almost like it's just been revealed for you. This is how Umar radiallahu anhu felt when he heard Al-Haqqah. He said, oh, he's just a poem. He's just a poet. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ لَقَوْلُ رَسُولٍ كَرِيمٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِقَوْلِ شَاعِرٍ. This is the speech of a noble messenger. It's not the speech of a poet. And so on and so forth. They spoke to Allah. This is what we want to get out of this. The Meccan period is supposed to teach you. And I, they spoke to God. They spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, I want your mercy. Allahumma inna rahmataka arju. I want your mercy. That's the only thing I want. I don't care about anything else. So don't make me even in charge of myself for a blinking of an eye. Be the one who fixes my affairs. This kind of speech, we're not used to that. What we're used to is, brother, your Sheikh, Nadeem, or whoever, how do I make dua to have a wife from Hyderabad or wherever, right? We have all of these, mashallah, like different descriptions, and we want to know how we can get that dua for this particular thing. How do I make dua so I can, you know, have a good 401k or whatever, or have good grades in university or college? This is not how things are supposed to function. You're supposed to make dua with your heart. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught them. To the extent, I want you to know that all the difficulties that we talked about, it's not getting any better, by the way, from now on. It's actually getting worse. And you might answer, why? Keep that in your mind. It's gonna get worse. Everything I just mentioned, the Prophet being choked, attacked, and Umar radiallahu anhu torturing people and accepting Islam was like the first victory. They said that Allah gave victory to us. It was like a sign of victory when Umar accepted Islam. Just like when how we felt when we saw the funeral of Muhammad Ali. Didn't you feel like that's relief? Well, it made me tear just to hear the Quran being recited in front of presidents, kings, ministers, rock stars, athletes. Go watch that funeral if you haven't. That's what Umar meant. That's what Umar meant. So you have now a little bit of relief. They said, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we couldn't even pray in front of the Kaaba until Umar accepted Islam. So now you have them praying in front of the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ then tells them in a gathering of where they used to hide, which is the home of Darul Arqam. Where is that? Near the mountain of Safa. So when you go to Umrah, when you're on that mountain, Darul Arqam's home was just right there. So they were hiding there, And the Prophet ﷺ says, who's going to now go out and recite the Quran for people? And no one said a thing. Umar was even there. Why? Because it means you're going to get like pummeled. They're going to beat you probably to death. Because now you're openly showing, according to them, animosity to their faith. Who's going to recite the Quran? No one raised their hand except one person. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And who is he? He's a short guy with really skinny legs. And everybody looks at him like, dude, put your hand down. And the Prophet ﷺ looks at him and he asks again, who's going to go out? He's like, Abdullah's going to get himself killed. And no one raises their hand except Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And he asked a third time, who's going to go out and represent their faith? And only Abdullah ibn Mas'ud raises his hand. So finally the Prophet ﷺ said, okay, go. So he goes into the middle of Mecca, in front of the Kaaba. He does not have noble lineage. He doesn't even have people to protect him from his family or his tribe. He's a shepherd. Small, does not have any power, and is going in front of everyone. So when he stands in front of the Kaaba, he starts, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahman. علم القرآن. Starts reciting Surah Al-Rahman. And when he's reciting Surah Al-Rahman, for those of you, some of you, maybe this is your favorite surah in the Quran because it's so beautiful. When he starts reciting, everybody in Mecca stops. Everybody stops. Trade stops, tawaf stops, everybody stops. And they all start huddling around Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. Everybody wants to listen to the Quran. This beautiful word. Finally, Abu Jahl, from a distance, he's like, what is that? What's going on? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud has stopped Mecca with his recitation of the Quran in front of the Kaaba. So Abu Jahl goes running, he comes up behind him as he was reciting, and he hits them on top of his head. And he tells him, shut up, you shepherd boy. No one wants to listen to you. And he goes back to the Prophet ﷺ, and the Prophet ﷺ gives him a glad tiding through a dua. That, oh Abdullah, have patience. Because one day, this will all pay off. And it doesn't get any better. The Prophet ﷺ then says, let us go out and teach people about Islam. Who is the one who's going to speak? And it was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The first person to recite the Quran publicly was Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. And the first person to speak in public, other than the Prophet, was Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. So they go in front of the Kaaba. The Prophet ﷺ sits under the shade. And Abu Bakr starts speaking. And they come and attack. And they start beating. And then they come attack the Prophet ﷺ. And they start beating him. And Abu Bakr loses control of even him defending himself. He goes and rushes to the Prophet ﷺ and pushes people away as they're beating the noble messenger ﷺ. And as they're beating him, they leave the Prophet because he's been whisked away now by some of the companions. And they come to Abu Bakr and they start beating him. And they start beating him. Until there's blood flowing all over his face. They said, we couldn't recognize his nose from the rest of his face. And as they're doing this, one of them says, stop, don't kill him. Because his tribe will come seek revenge. This is the only reason they stopped. They take him away. And they drag him to his house. And they lay him on the ground. And they're shaking him saying, Abu Bakr, wake up. Abu Bakr, do you want food? Abu Bakr, do you want drink? They didn't know whether he was alive or dead. They bring his mother and his father to just be with Abu Bakr because he might die at any moment. He's bleeding from his entire face and body. And he doesn't wake up the entire night. The next morning, they shake him and he wakes. And they say to him, Abu Bakr, do you want some water? And he says, where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? They said, do you want water? We're asking you want water. He said, where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And his mother gets so upset. He's like, what is the matter with you? Because of this man, you're getting yourself killed? And he says, where is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu loves the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam so much, he doesn't even feel his pain. And he says to his mother, go to Jamil. And tell her I have sent you and ask about the Prophet. So when his mother went to Jamil and asked, What happened to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? She wasn't Muslim. She asked, where's Muhammad? Where is he? And Jameel was afraid because she was not Muslim. She's like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know who Muhammad is. I don't know who Abu Bakr is. And her mother says, no, Abu Bakr sent me. And he's been physically hurt. So Jameel becomes panicked and says, where is Abu Bakr? I want to see him. So the mother Abu Bakr takes Jameel to Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and asks, when she comes into the door, she looks at Abu Bakr, she just starts weeping. She says, may Allah curse them. What have they done to you? And she starts weeping from just the sight of seeing this noble man who used to free all of the slaves that would get punished by Quraysh for being Muslim. He would go automatically and free them with his own money. He would see this noble man that was always at the side of the Prophet ﷺ, now just covered and drenched in blood. And he said, where is the Prophet ﷺ? And Jameel, while she's crying, she says that the Prophet is okay and he has not been hurt. And that's not enough for Abu Bakr. He says, take me to the Prophet. And when they take him, they drag him on his shoulders. They open the door. He comes to the room and he just falls on the Prophet ﷺ and starts kissing him on his head. And he said, Alhamdulillah, who has saved you from the oppressors. And the Prophet ﷺ says, what happened to you, Abu Bakr? Are you okay? He says, everything is fine in our life as long as we know you're fine, Ya Rasulullah. This is the kind of love that they had. That they would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, as long as the Prophet is fine. And it didn't get any better. Khabbab ibn al-Arat. Remember that guy that was hiding in the closet in Umar's sister's house? You guys remember that story? That's Khabbab ibn al-Arat. They say he was punished the most out of all of the companions without being killed. He was a slave. His master would put him on the ground, and not like Bilal where you have a hot rock on his stomach and crushing him. They would take hot iron rods, make sure that they're extremely hot, and then put him on his back until they cool down. And they would do this. They say he was punished the most out of everyone. He was the one who came to the Prophet ﷺ and said to him, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, أَلَا تَسْتَنْصِرُ اللَّهُ لَنَا أَلَا تَدْعُو اللَّهُ لَنَا. While the Prophet ﷺ was leaning his back against the Kaaba, this man comes and says, oh, Messenger of Allah, aren't you going to ask Allah for victory for us? Aren't you going to make dua for us? And the Prophet ﷺ looks up at him. And he knows this man is the one who has been punished the most in Mecca for his Islam. The Prophet knows this. And look what he says to him. I want you to pay attention. He says to him that people before you would be put in the ground until they're up to their half of their body. And then they would be a saw put over their heads until they're sawed in half alive and they would not leave their faith. بَلْ أَنْتُمْ قَوْمٌ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ. But rather you are a people that are hasty. This is the Prophet ﷺ teaching his companions perseverance and patience. This is the Prophet ﷺ teaching them that you have to seek your victory in dua. And he says to them, أَلَا هَلْ تُنْصَرُونَ إِلَّا بِدُعَاءِ دُعَفَائِكُمْ. And aren't you given victory over the because of the dua of the weak of you, among you? This is how you're given victory. The dua of the weak among you. This is what the Prophet ﷺ teaches. And this is what they believed. Their trust in Allah was unnerving, unshakable. Because they had a personal connection to Allah in their dua. And they just looked at the Prophet persevering. And looked at the Prophet overcoming and pardoning constantly. This is what made them survive Mecca. Until a time came, which was the most difficult time in the life of the Prophet ﷺ, which was known as the year of sadness, the year of depression. It was so bad. He lost the two pillars of support he had. His wife Khadija radiallahu anha, and his uncle and father figure Abu Talib, the only person he knew like a father. And as he's dying on his deathbed, Abu Jahl comes with another person by the name of Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah. And he's telling and he's pleading to his uncle, oh my uncle, just say one word, say la ilaha illallah, so that I can argue on your behalf with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so that you can go to paradise. And the other side, Abu Jahl and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, are yelling at him, are you going to leave the religion of your forefathers? Are you going to leave the religion of Abdul Muttalib? And he's looking this way at the Prophet, and then this way at Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah and Abu Jahl. Until finally he says, I die upon the religion of my forefathers. And he passes away. The Prophet ﷺ is absolutely crushed. And he goes into a state of sadness. Because his wife died in Ramadan. And his uncle died in Ramadan. We don't know this. But they died in that holy month. And the Prophet ﷺ at this point in time is overcome with such an emotional level of anxiety that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to send him Quran as the antidote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this point in time sends him the chapter of Yusuf and the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, where Yaqub loses not one but two sons thinking that they had perished. And he becomes blind out of extreme sadness. And what does he say? He teaches a dua to the Prophet. إِنَّمَا أَشْكُو بَثْنِي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. That I only complain of my sadness and my depression to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he reads this, it gives him solace and comfort again. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam uses this as his counsel to overcome the depression and sadness that he had in his life. And he continues this responsibility. إِنَّا سَنُلْقِي عَلَيْكَ قَوْلًا ثَقِيلًا. We'll indeed give you a weighty responsibility. He goes to fulfill it. He knows now that he has no support in Mecca. So he goes to a city walking with his, with one of his companions, Zayd ibn Haritha, 80 kilometers to a city named Taif. He spends 10 days there. And the first thing he does is he goes to one of the leaders, three brothers, and he asks them, can you give me support for me to just spread the message of Islam? The first one says, I don't want to talk to you. The second one says, I don't want to talk to you if you're a prophet because you're dangerous. And if you're not a prophet, I don't want to speak to a liar. And the last one says, didn't Allah find anyone better than you to send to us? This is the kind of rejection the Prophet ﷺ faces. So he's going through such an emotional period. And now he's even rejected more. After these 10 harsh days, the Prophet ﷺ was kicked out. And he was asked by Aisha radiallahu anha, that have you ever experienced a worse day than the day of Uhud? When you were being physically attacked and people thought you had died? He said, yes, the day when I went to Taif. That this is when the tribes troubled me a lot. And the worst trouble was on the day when I met their leader. And he didn't respond to my invitation after I went through all of this. And I couldn't even relax until they kicked me out and they started to throw stones at me. And they sent the weakest of their people and their thieves and their slaves and their young children to throw stones at me. For 40 kilometers they chased him, alayhi salatu wasalam, throwing stones at him until his body started to bleed and his feet were bleeding. Until they chased him to a place called Qarn al-Tha'alib, 40 kilometers away. And he said that the mountain, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Jibreel with the angel of the mountains at that time. And said to me, what would you like to do with these people? Give one word and we will destroy them with the mountains. And he made a dua. He said, oh Allah, maybe that from their progeny and children, there will come with those who worship you. And then he said, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka dha'fa quwwati. وقلة حيلتي وهواني على الناس أنت أرحم الراحمين أنت رب المستضعفين أنت ربي إلى من تكلني إلى بعيد يتجهمني أو إلى عدو ملكته أمري إن لم يكن بك علي غضب فلا أبالي ولكن عافيتك لي أوسع أعوذ بنور وجهك الذي أشرقت به الظلمات وصله عليه أمر الدنيا والآخرة أن تنزل بي سخطك أو يحل علي غضبك لك العتبة حتى ترضى ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. The Prophet ﷺ rests in this place and he raises his hands. He says, oh Allah, to you alone I complain of my weakness, my insufficient ability and my insignificance before people. You're the only one I can complain to. You're the most merciful of those people who show mercy. You're the Lord of the helpless and the weak. O Lord of mine, in whose hands would you abandon me in? In the hands of the unsympathetic who would angrily frown at me, or to the enemy who would you give control over my affairs? But if your anger doesn't fall on me, and as long as you're not angry with me, there's nothing for me to worry. Your pardon is enough for me. I seek protection in the light of your face, which illuminates darkness, fixing the affairs of all of the world as well as in the hereafter. May it never be that I incur your anger, Ya Rab, or that you should be angry with me, and there is no power but yours alone. The Prophet ﷺ makes this dua, seeking only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's strength, and knowing that he only has Allah, and Allah will get him out of every difficulty. I want to ask a question. What made the Prophet ﷺ go through so much? Have any one of us faced this amount of difficulty in our lives just because we say La ilaha illallah? What made the Prophet ﷺ be able to face all of these difficulties and tragedy after tragedy after tragedy? What we said earlier in the talk, in the reflection that we had. Allah said to him, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. This kept playing in his head. Your Lord will never forsake you, nor will he be angry with you. And remember that whatever is going to come in the future is always better than what you're going to face now. It's always going to be better. And your Lord will keep giving you and giving you and giving you until you will be satisfied. This was stuck in his mind. He never let go of that. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Your Lord will give you until you're satisfied. Don't worry, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what you should do? فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ. When you come across an orphan, a person in need, don't reject them. Continue on your path to benefit humanity. When you see a person asking, don't say, I don't need you. You're bothering me. You're there to serve them, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever you have been given the blessings, speak about them. This was what is in his mind. This is what made him survive over all of this. After this, he was given one of the greatest gifts in all of Islam, the journey to Jerusalem. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me to just come from there. Spent the last 10 nights there of Ramadan. This is a place you physically feel the blessing of all prophets. You feel the presence of the prophets there. When you're in Masjid al-Aqsa, that compound, you can feel this is where Ibrahim was. This is where Idris prayed. This is where Musa prayed. This is where Yahya was. This is where Zakaria was. This is where the Prophet led them in salah. When you go there and you close your eyes, you can see them in front of you. And Allah says, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan minal masjidil haram ilal masjidil aqsa alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina innahu huwas samiul alim. Glory be to the one whom took his servant at night from Masjid al-Haram all the way to Masjid al-Aqsa, in which we have blessed its surroundings, so that we may show you of our signs, so that we may show you that you're on the truth. When he went there is a wall in Masjid al-Aqsa called the Western Wall. The Prophet ﷺ saw that exact wall. If you get a chance to visit and you're looking at that wall, you're looking at the same thing the Prophet looked at. Because that wall is older than the Prophet ﷺ. It was built by Herodotus, the Roman Emperor, in 70 CE, 500 years before the Prophet ﷺ. And if you look at the southern wall, where we are known to look at Masjid al-Aqsa, that's not Masjid al-Aqsa. That's Masjid al-Qibli. That location, the mihrab of it, is where the Prophet ﷺ led all of the prophets and messengers in prayer. 124,000 were brought down in spirit, and the Prophet ﷺ led them all in prayer. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised him to the heavens where the dome of the rock is. And he was lifted in the sky. And in the sky, he met Adam in his original form, 120 feet tall. He met Yahya and Isa. He met Ibrahim in the final level. And he met Idris in all the prophets. Every one of them would tell him and give him glad tidings. Welcome, O noble messenger, our brother who's a noble messenger. Or some of them would say, like Adam, welcome to my noble son and the noble prophet. What does this do to you? It gives you unshakable firmness in your faith. Unshakable. Why? لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Because you see the signs of Allah. Have you ever asked yourself, when is the last time you looked at the signs of Allah? Have you gone through such a difficult time that you're about to collapse and almost not be able to function because of this difficulty and hardship? But you come to the masjid, for example, and the imam starts giving a khutbah, it's as if you're the only one in the room. As if he's speaking to you. Or you might go to one of your friends, and they start talking to you, they don't even know your problem, but they're speaking to you as if Allah sent them to you. Or you speak to a random person and they give you advice you didn't even ask for, but it's if Allah sent them to you. لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. Isn't Allah showing you His signs? It's as if they were sent just to show you the existence of Allah. You know what that is? That's a sign of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what the Prophet ﷺ got. In the heavens, he was given two things. The five daily prayers. Remember that they were praying before this. The salah went through six stages before it got to where we pray now. Six stages. The first is they prayed bukratan wa ashiya, after fajr and after asr. Then qiyam al-layl was made obligatory on everyone. Why? It was too dangerous. And to increase their affinity and love to Allah by praying in solitude. Unfortunately, we have given this up in our training for ourselves as well as to our brothers and sisters. That salah should be the most beloved thing to a person. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it five obligatory daily prayers in Isra' wal Mi'raj. In these five obligatory prayers, before that it was 50. So it went down all the way to five. So that's number five. And in Mecca, they never prayed four rak'ah for dhuhr, or four rak'ah for asr, or four rak'ah for isha. They only prayed two. Aisha said, when they moved to Medina, and it was obviously much more safer, the salah that was two rak'ah became four. So, fajr remained two, dhuhr used to be two, it became four. Asr used to be two, it became four. And maghrib remained three. And Isha went from two to four. And she said that this changed for people who are residents, but stayed the same for those traveling. That's why you pray traveler's prayer too. This is the six stages of prayer. So the companions received that in one night. And he said he received something else. He said that Allah gave me one of the treasures of the treasures of the throne. And this treasure was a dua. Allah gave him dua. And this dua are the last two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. He said that these two ayat were given to me as a gift that were part of the treasures of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know how we have Mekki verses and Madani verses? This is the only one that's not necessarily Mekki or Madani, it's Jannati. Right? It's revealed in Jannah. But what we mean by Mekki is anything revealed before the migration. And Madani is anything that's revealed after the migration. This was before the migration. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this, these two ayat, in the last portion, a dua the Prophet ﷺ never left every single night. He said, whoever says these two ayat at night before he sleeps, it's enough for him. The scholar said, what does this mean? It's enough if he dies that he will go to Jannah. Or she dies. It's enough of any harm for that will happen to you at night, it will protect you. These two ayat of Surah Al-Baqarah. And the last ayah is the main dua, which is so beautiful. لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَعَلَيْهَا مَا اكْتَسَبَتْ رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِن نَسِيْنَا أَوْ أَخْطَأْنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تَحْمِلْ عَلَيْنَا إِصْرًا كَمَا حَمَلْتَهُ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِنَا رَبَّنَا وَلَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ وَاعْفُ عَنَّا وَاغْفِرْ لَنَا وَارْحَمْنَا أَنْتَ مَوْلَانَا فَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ I want you to listen to this in the context of everything you've heard. Don't listen to it as you're listening to it. Listen to it in the context of the hardships, the difficulties, the torture, the physical, psychological, emotional abuse. Allah sends this as a treasure for all of humanity. Oh Allah, don't charge a soul. Allah does not charge a soul with more than it can bear. It will have the consequence of the good that it gained, and it will not bear the consequence of the evil it has earned. Oh our Lord, don't blame us if we have forgotten or made mistakes. Oh our Lord, don't give us a burden which you laid upon those before us that they couldn't bear. Oh our Lord, burden us not with that which we have no ability for. And pardon us and forgive us and have mercy on us. You are our protector, so give us victory over those who oppressed us in disbelief. The Prophet ﷺ took these verses and taught them to his companions. And then the end of this period started to just get more worse. The Prophet ﷺ was looking for supporters for his faith to be spread. So a man came from a very distant part of Arabia, of a very affluent tribe called Dos. And he was told by Quraysh, don't listen to this guy. He's a magician, a soothsayer, and he will send jinn on you. So they made him so afraid that he never even approached the Prophet ﷺ. He put cotton in his ears. And then when he went towards the marketplace to do business, and he had this cotton in his ears, he was looking at the Prophet ﷺ from a very far distance, and he said, you know what, this guy does not look dangerous. And then he spoke to himself, says, oh, you know, you've dealt with people who are crazy, and you're the head of your tribe, what is wrong with you? Go speak with the guy, and if you're a man, you'll be able to deal with it. This man, his name was Tufail ibn Amr al-Dawsi. Tufail ibn Amr went to the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, oh Muhammad, if you're crazy, I know the best doctors. And if you have issues with jinn, I know people who can get them out of you. So he completely offends the Prophet ﷺ. So if you have any issues, just let me know. So when the Prophet ﷺ looked at him, he said, are you done? He said, yes. He said, listen to me. And he recited to him, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٍ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ When he was done, he said, can you repeat that? Can you repeat it? And he recited it again. He said, I have never heard something like this before. I've never heard that we turn only to one and we seek refuge in only one, and he's the only one to protect us. So he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And Quraysh is upset. Like, we're trying to save this guy from protecting the Prophet ﷺ and believing in him. So the Prophet ﷺ says, go to your people in Dos and invite him to Islam. He spends a whole year. He comes back the following year, the 12th year of prophethood. And he says to the Prophet ﷺ, make dua against Dos. I went to them, even though I'm their leader, and they all rejected me. So the Prophet ﷺ raised his hands. And he said, Allahumma hadi Dosan. Allahumma hadi Dosan. Allahumma hadi Dosan wa'ati bihim. He said, oh Allah, guide Dos. Guide Dos. Oh Allah, guide Dos and bring them to us. And he says to Tufail, go back to your people. فَدْعُهُمْ وَارْفُقْ بِهِمْ Call them and be gentle with them. Call them and be gentle with them. So Tufail ibn Amr goes back and he tries again. Instead of shoving this faith down their throats, he's gentle with them. And they all accept Islam. And they come to the Prophet ﷺ. In this year, the Prophet ﷺ would use the Hajj years in order to try to find supporters. No one would support him, even though some believed in him. And they felt that he was a prophet. But they said, we're going to get killed by Quraysh. So they refused to take that responsibility. They said, we don't want to die. Quraysh is too powerful. And the society in Quraysh did not have a president. did not have a king. The society of Quraysh was built on tribes which had checks and balances. The tribe of Banu Makhzum of Abu Jahl were warriors. And they had connection with the warring tribes. If you mess with them, you're going to get crushed. The tribe of Banu Hashim, the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ, were known for the service of Hujjaj. For Siqaya particularly. There's 7 services in Hajj. They were in charge of Siqaya, which means to give people water. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, the best sadaqah is to feed people water. And the Prophet ﷺ was of the family who used to give the Hujjaj water. Etc. So everybody kind of checked and balanced one another. You can't mess with the noble tribe of those who serve the Hujjaj, otherwise the other tribes would attack you. So no one wanted to attack all of Quraysh, all of the tribes, and start fighting with them. So they refused, except one group of people. 7 people from a place known as Yathrib, which means the cursed place. Means to curse almost. And it's a land of disease and an agricultural city. These people came to the Prophet ﷺ and they said to each other, this man looks like the one that the Bani Israel in our city spoke about. There were 3 tribes of the children of Israel. And they all came to Medina in order to look for the final prophet. And they would have wars with the Arabs, which nothing else is new, right? That we will have a prophet which will take over your people. So they were afraid of this final prophet, when's he going to come? So when they saw the Prophet ﷺ, they said, let's get to him before Bani Israel gets to him. So they didn't actually believe in him for faith. They took him in because it was power. And the Prophet ﷺ realized that. So what did he do? He sent a man to them which was known to be one of the richest companions in Mecca at that time. A young man. He accepted Islam young. This guy was so rich that when he walked in the streets, women would know he was there because of the strong cologne or perfume or oud that he had. And if you want to know what that smells like, if you go to Mecca, go to a store called Abdul Samad al-Qurashi. And there is a type of oud. They don't even show it to you. You have to ask for it. It's behind the counter. It's called oud thaqil. It's 10,000 riyals for this much. This much. One of my friends had an oud business, and he put some on me. He's like, just try this out. It wouldn't go away for 4 days. A drop. So this guy shellacked himself with it, mashallah. Right? And he's like dousing himself with it. And you really, I believe it, you can smell it from a distance. And it leaves the scent. Imagine somebody, I don't know if you felt this before, mashallah, when somebody really, he smells very good, when they pray in a spot and they leave like a mark, you're like, mashallah, whoever prayed here was really, they smell nice. It was just like that. And he also used to wear, they didn't have Italian shoes back then, they had Yemeni shoes. Shoes from Hadramaut, which only kings wore. He used to wear those shoes. His name was Mus'ab ibn Umair. Mus'ab ibn Umair, when he accepted Islam, his mother kicked him out and disowned him. He lost everything. 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 He didn't even have clothes. The Prophet ﷺ made him the first ambassador to Islam and sent him with these people. They went back to Yathrib at that time, later to be known as Medina. And he didn't leave a single house except at least he invited them to Islam and taught them about this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To the extent that the entire area heard about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The following year, the 13th year in Mecca, they came with 72 who had accepted Islam. And they say, we are now ready. And their hearts were firm now. They now believed really in this Prophet. And they gave him his pledge that they will protect him. And it was now time to leave Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ looks longingly at Mecca. And he says, oh Allah, if these people didn't kick me out of this land, I would never leave it. Oh Allah, they have kicked me out of the most beloved land to me. And he looks back at Mecca with a very longing. His wife is buried there. His son is buried there. His father figure is buried there. And his companions were crushed and annihilated and tortured and persecuted. And the Kaaba is there. And he makes a dua. He makes a very powerful dua. And he says, Alhamdulillah alladhi khalaqani wa lam akun shay'an madhkura. Allahumma inni ala hawli dunya wa bawa'iq ad-dahr wa masa'ib al-layali wal-ayyam. Allahumma ashabni fi safari wa akhlufni fi ahli wa laka fadallilni wa dhalika ala khuluqi salihin faqawwimni. وإليك يا ربي فحببني وإلى الناس فلا تكلني رب المستضعفين فأنت رب أعوذ بوجهك الكريم الذي أشرقت له نور السماوات والأرض وكشفت به الظلمات وأصلحت به أمر الأولين والآخرين أن تحل علي سخطك أو تنزل علي غضبك لك العتبة عندي ما استطعت ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. He says, all praise and thanks is for Allah who created me from nothing. Oh Allah, help me in the face of different trials and tragedies and tribulations of time. Whether it be in night or the day, O Allah, accompany me in my journey. O Allah, look after my family in my absence. O Allah, provide blessing and barakah in whatever you have provided for me. O Allah, allow me to submit to you alone. O Allah, establish me in the best of character, the type of character that helps to solve problems, not the type that creates problems. O Allah, make me beloved to you. O Allah, don't surrender me to the merciless people. O Allah, you are the Lord of the weak and the oppressed, the downtrodden, and you are my Lord, my Master. I seek refuge in your noble face that illuminates the heavens and the earth, and all darknesses are dispelled by it. O Allah, the light of your face solves the problems of the people who came before and the people who will come after. Protect me from your anger ever descending from upon me. Protect me from your ever sending your punishment on me. I take protection with you, O Allah, from your blessings ever running out, and from your punishment taking a hold of me, and from your protection leaving me, and from all types of your anger and your displeasure. I will continue to serve you to the best of my ability. There's no ability to do good, and there's no strength to resist evil except through you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to the home of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and he had told him, Abu Bakr, don't go. Maybe Allah will give you a replacement from being the first to travel. And Aisha said that the Prophet ﷺ entered at a time he normally does never come. The Prophet will come at night and he would come during the morning. He came in the middle of the day when it's hot. And all of his companions had already migrated, except his family and Abu Bakr Siddiq and his family. And he comes into the home of Abu Bakr and he says to him, أخرج من عندك. He said, take everyone who's in here out. And Abu Bakr says, may my mother and father be sacrificed for your sake. These are just my family. It's my daughters and my sons. What is it? And the Prophet ﷺ sits down. And as he was about to speak, Abu Bakr realizes what the matter is. And he says, As-suhba ya Rasulullah, will I be your companion in your migration, ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet ﷺ smiles and he says, As-suhba. He says, companionship. Aisha radiallahu anha says, "For Wallahi ma kidtu an ara shakhsan yabki min al-farih min al-yawm alladhi ra'ayt Abu Bakr yabki min al-farih." She said, "I swear by Allah, I have never seen anyone cry out of happiness more than the day when Abu Bakr heard the news and started crying out of happiness. He just started to weep, thanking Allah that he will be the Prophet's companion, alayhi salatu wasalam." And they move on their way to Medina. While they're on their way to Medina, they're being attacked by assassins. A trip that normally takes 8 days, it takes them 12 days while they go against the caravan routes. And they stop at a cave. And they're so close that Abu Bakr says if they were to just look down, they would see us hiding in the cave. And the Prophet ﷺ makes dua. He says, Allahumma a'im absaram. Oh Allah, blind their sight, blind their vision. So they never look down. One of them says, there's just some animals here, we don't even need to look. And they leave. Abu Bakr in this entire journey is so concerned for the Prophet ﷺ. He comes in front of him, fearing that an arrow would come out of nowhere. He would go to his right, fearing that a spear would come from somewhere. He would go to his left, then he would go to his back, fearful for the Prophet ﷺ. Until at one point, he looks back and he sees them in the horizon. And he says, Ya Rasulullah, they're almost near us. And the Prophet ﷺ doesn't even look back. He says, Ya Rasulullah, they're almost near us. And the Prophet doesn't look back. Why? Teaching him, Ya Abu Bakr, we've prayed. We've had reliance on Allah. We've taken the means. We've done what He's told us. So when you rely on Allah, you never look back. And then they make it to Medina. And when they enter Medina, Anas radiallahu anhu says that it was the most illuminated and blessed and day filled with light that we had ever seen in our lives. The day the Prophet ﷺ entered Medina. And everyone came out. The Jews came out, the Christians came out, the Arabs came out, those who hadn't even accepted Islam, and there was only 818 Muslims who accepted Islam at this point in time. Mecca and Medina, and Habasha, Ethiopia. 818. That was the Ummah at the beginning of the Medinian period. And the Prophet ﷺ enters, and Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jewish rabbi at that time, says, we all went to see what he looked like. We just wanted to see what he says. He says, when I saw him, فَلَمَّا رَأَيْتُ وَجْهَهُ عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ وَجْهَهُ لَيْسَ بِوَجْهِ كَذَّابِ. When I looked at his face, I realized that his face was not the face of a liar. And the first thing he said to us, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَفْشُ السَّلَامِ. O people, O the people of the city, spread peace. Spread peace. وَأَطْعِمُ الطَّعَامِ. And feed the poor. Feed each other. Be in the service of the community. And then he specifically spoke to the believers, وَصَلُّوا بِاللَّيْلِ وَالنَّاسِ نِيَامِ. تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ بِالسَّلَامِ. And pray in the night while others are sleeping. You will enter in paradise in peace. And he said something else to them in the very first speech in Medina. He said to them, أَحِبُّ اللَّهُ مِنْ كُلِّ قُلُوبِكُمْ. Love God with all of your hearts. I want you to focus on these two messages. What was the first thing the Prophet ﷺ was revealed? The Salah. What was the very first thing that was made obligatory at that time and then made voluntary? Praying at night. And even though it's voluntary, the Prophet tells them, pray at night, have a connection with Allah, and love Allah with all of your hearts. This is the key to Islam. Spreading peace, being in the service of your community, personal, private devotion to your Lord with pure love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is Islam. This is the secret of Nubuwwah. This is the secret of all of the prophets. This is the secret of the companions. And the reason why we feel numb when we see tragedies today is what we talked about in the khutbah earlier, is because we don't implement this. And it's the basis of Islam. When we feel like there's a hole in our devotion to Allah, that is when we start feeling numb. Like we can't do anything. Like we're helpless. But the one who has a connection with Allah knows that there's no one who you need except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet was alone in Ta'if. And stoned and beaten and thrown and choked 3 times in front of the Kaaba. But he never felt alone. He never felt helpless. This was the secret of the Prophet ﷺ. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Lord will never forsake you. He never just read it. He lived it. Allah will never forsake us. The Prophet ﷺ, after that, was approached by his wife Aisha radiallahu anha, who went to her father Abu Bakr and Bilal. And she asked them, oh my father, how do you find it in Medina? Bilal, how do you like Medina? At that time it wasn't known as Medina, it was called Yathrib. How do you like Yathrib? And Abu Bakr is sick with malaria and has a flu and is sweating, and he's living in an agricultural society. He says, everyone has a place to call home to except us. Death is closer to us than our shoelaces. Meaning, I don't like it here. I love Mecca. And Bilal says, may Allah curse Quraysh. May Allah curse Quraysh. May Allah curse Abu Jahl. May Allah curse Umayyah bin Khalaf. May Allah curse Utbah, who kicked us out of the most beloved land to us, to this land of disease. They were honest people. They didn't go to the Prophet, yeah, we love it. Yeah, it's great. It's amazing. Alhamdulillah. They praised Allah, but they were very honest. They were honest people. They told the Prophet ﷺ, we don't like it. They missed Mecca naturally. The Prophet ﷺ did something which is now the secret of Medina. You want to know the secret of Medina? I'll tell you the secret of Medina. The Prophet ﷺ raised his blessed hands and made dua. He said, Allahumma habib ilayna al-madinata kahubbina Mecca aw ashad. He said, oh Allah, make this city beloved to us like you made Mecca beloved to us, and even more so. And oh Allah, barik lana fi sa'ina wa fi muddina. Bless us in our volumes of measurement for food. Wa akhrij al-ba'sa minha. And remove from it its disease. That's the secret of Medina. The reason why you and I love it when you go there, any human being that goes there, loves Medina because of this dua of the Prophet ﷺ 1437 years ago. Until the day of judgment, the barakah of the dua of the Prophet ﷺ is in that place. It took 124,000 prophets to bless Masjid al-Aqsa and Jerusalem and Bayt al-Maqdis. They say that the land around it reaches all the way to Iraq. That entire area is the blessed lands that Allah said we've blessed around it. It took 124,000 prophets. It took one prophet for Medina and one dua. The Prophet ﷺ, after that, established a society for the first time. For the first time, they have some relief. They can worship Allah freely. They can represent their faith freely. And they start to build a society little by little. But it didn't end. The hardship of Quraysh didn't end. They started amassing an economy of war, sending huge caravans to Syria in order to amass a giant army in their trade. And the Prophet ﷺ knew that. So he would cut off their trade routes and their caravans. He would send small battalions of 50 or so people and less to trade, to cut off their routes because the caravans were not well armed. Until the second year of migration, the Prophet ﷺ heard that one of the greatest and largest armies in Qurayshi history, 50,000 dinars, 1,000 camels, were on their way to Syria to do trade and amass the largest army possible with that money in order to come and annihilate Medina. So the Prophet ﷺ took for the first time himself the lead with one of the caravans. And he said to them, whoever has their ride ready can come with us. If you're not ready, you don't have to go. It's voluntary. 313 came out. And they went an hour and a half drive now to a city named as Badr in order to defend themselves and defend their livelihood and their families. And they didn't know that the Qurayshis sent scouts ahead. And they found out the Prophet was coming with an army of 313, which weren't even well armed. They just came to cut off the caravan routes. So they went back with the entire caravan, and they brought a force of 1300 to face the Prophet ﷺ. Four times greater. And these people are well armed. And the Prophet ﷺ left in the month where Ramadan became obligatory to fast. This was Ramadan, the 12th of Ramadan, the very first Ramadan in Islam that was obligatory to fast. Before that, they only fasted Ashura. This was the first Ramadan. They left in the 12th fasting, 5-day journey to get to Badr. And when they get there, they realize the scouts the Prophet sent, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there's 1300 with the greatest of the Qurayshi leadership coming to attack them. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam looks at his people. They don't even have horsemen. They don't even have proper weaponry. Some of them don't even have proper clothes. And the Prophet makes dua. He says, Allahumma innahum hufatun fahmilhum. Allahumma innahum uratun faksuhum. Allahumma innahum jia'un fashbi'hum. He says, oh Allah, they don't have any shoes, so provide for them. He said, oh Allah, they don't even have any clothes, so give them clothes. He said, oh Allah, they're hungry, so make them full and satiate their hunger. The Prophet looks at his people and he says to them, Ashiru alayya ayyuhan nas. Give me counsel, what should we do, O my companions? What should we do? Abu Bakr stands, the one who's been standing with him since the beginning, and says, Ya Rasulullah, we're with you no matter what. And then Umar stands and he says the same thing. And the Prophet ﷺ then hears from a man, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, the one who was the first person to recite the Quran in front of the Kaaba. He says, I saw a companion that day. I have never been jealous of anyone in Islam except in Al-Miqdad on the day when he talked to the Prophet ﷺ. Al-Miqdad stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we're not going to tell you what Bani Israel told Musa. When Musa was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell Bani Israel, enter Jerusalem, just go in, you will be given victory. You will take the Holy Land. They said to Musa, اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إن هاهنا قاعدون. You and your Lord go fight, we're going to sit here and chill. He said, we're not going to tell you what Bani Israel told Musa. اذهب أنت وربك فقاتلا إن هاهنا قاعدون. We're going to tell you, you and your Lord go and we will be behind you. And we will be in front of you. And to your right and to your left. And wherever you see us, we will be with you. And when he said that, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, when Miqdad made that statement, the Prophet ﷺ smiled, so happy that he finds finally the support he's been looking for. The 13 long, hard years, people who love Islam and Allah with all of their hearts. And they're willing to defend their faith and their values. When he said that, he still said, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ أَشِيرُ عَلَيْهِ. He said, oh people, give me counsel. So the leader of the people of Medina stood up, Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I think you're talking to us. You want to see what we think. Because the Meccans have been with the Prophet through thick and thin, hardship, coal, burning iron, beatings, but the Ansaris are new. The Prophet never wants to force people to do something they didn't want to. This is a test, are you sure? And Sa'd ibn Mu'adh gets up and says, Ya Rasulullah. Shahadtu, he says, Ya Rasulullah. Shahidna ma ji'ta bihi wa huwa al-haq. Faqad amanna bika wa saddaqnak. Wa shahidna anna ma ji'ta bihi huwa al-haq. He said, whatever you came with, we believed in. And we took you as truth. And we believed and testified that it was certain reality. وَأَعْطَيْنَاكَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ عُهُودُنَا وَمَوَاثِيقَنَا. We gave you our covenants, we gave you our promises. عَلَى السَّمِعُ وَالطَّاعَةِ. To hear and obey you whatever happens. فَمْضِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لِمَا أَرَدْتَ فَنَحْنُ مَعَكَ. Go wherever you go, Ya Rasulullah, we're going to be with you. فَوَالَّذِي بَعْثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ لَوْ اسْتَعْرَضْتَ بِنَا هَذَا الْبَحْرَ فَخُدْتَهُ لَخُدْنَاهُ مَعَكَ. He said, I swear by Allah and the one who sent you, that if you were to tell us to go on top of the ocean and walk, we would go with you and walk. مَا تَخَلَّفَ مِنَّا رَجُلٌ وَاحِدٌ وَمَا نَكْرَهُ أَن تَلْقَى بِنَا عَدُوَّنَا غَدًا. We're not going to even disagree over one person among us. All of us say the same thing. Not one of us will ever leave you. وَمَا نَكْرَهُ أَن تَلْقَى بِنَا عَدُوَّنَا غَدًا. And we will hate that you meet our enemy tomorrow alone. إِنَّا لَصُبْرٌ فِي الْحَرْبِ. We are patient in times of war. صُدْقٌ فِي اللِّقَاءِ. And that we are truthful when we meet. وَلَعَلَّ اللَّهَ يُرِيَكَ مِنَّا مَا تَقَرُّ بِهِ عَيْنُكَ. And maybe Allah with us will show you something that will please you tomorrow. فَاسْتِرْ بِنَا عَلَى بَرَكَةِ اللَّهِ. So take us with the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this from Sa'd ibn Mu'adh and the Ansars, all of them that were with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam smiled with happiness. And he made dua. He said, oh Allah, bless these people. Oh Allah, if you don't give these people victory, you will not be worshipped on earth. Oh Allah, if these people are destroyed, you will never be worshipped on earth. Oh Allah, grant us victory. And they went to the day of Badr. Uncle, is it time? Bismillah. What's it, brother?
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
We're going to continue inshallah ta'ala for until the iqama bi'idhnillah, and then we'll finish up inshallah after the salah for another 20 minutes until we are done, since we started half an hour late. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he saw the companions with that kind of energy, with that kind of certainty, with that kind of love, wanting to defend the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Islam, he became so happy. That night, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to this area, which was an open area where the battle would take place. And he told them that tomorrow, this is where Abu Jahl is going to be. And he pointed their marks, every single one of them. Umayyah bin Khalaf is going to be here. Utbah is going to be here. Shaybah is going to be here. Then he marked the locations of the companions, where they should stand. Hamza, you stand here, and Umar here, and Ali here. And he marked all of them. Then he had them sleep and take rest. And they said that Ali radiallahu anhu, that Allah sent upon them a tranquility, because we couldn't sleep out of extreme fear. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in the Quran, we sent upon them a tranquil and serenity. So Ali said, we all slept. He said, I woke up in the night and I looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was by the tree near his campground, raising his hands to the sky and making dua the entire night. They looked at their Prophet and he said that what he was saying, said, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum. O the ever living, the one that needs no one. O the ever living, O the one that needs no one. O the ever living, O the one that needs no one. If you don't give these people victory, you will not be worshipped on this earth. O Allah, they don't have clothes, so clothe them. O Allah, they don't have strength, don't give them strength. O Allah, they are hungry, so satiate their hunger. Give them victory, O Allah. The entire night he's raising his hands. Until the morning, everyone's awake. And the Prophet ﷺ is raising his hands the whole night, to the point that his shawl has fallen off of his shoulders, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu sees his beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this state of absolute need to no one except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We only need you, Ya Allah. And Abu Bakr says to him, putting his hands down, Ya Rasulullah, that's enough. Allah will give you victory. Allah will give you victory. And the Prophet ﷺ at this point in time looks at Abu Bakr, looks at the horizon, the 1300 of the opposite army, outnumbering the Muslims 4-1, coming, and he sees in the distant horizon behind them, Jibreel alayhi salam with the angels. And he smiles at Abu Bakr and says, Abshir Abu Bakr, Allah has sent his victory to us, with angels to support us. In that battle, these 313 won an unsurmounting victory against one of the world's military superpowers at that time, the Qurayshis. In this battle, Abu Jahl, who killed Sumayya, who killed Yasir, who killed many of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ in front of the Kaaba, was killed. In this battle, Utbah and Shaybah were killed. In this battle, the heads of all of the Qurayshis were killed. And the Prophet ﷺ stood over them in sadness, not happiness. They came there to defend themselves. And he says to them while they're deceased, قَدْ وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ حَقَّ هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَكُمُ اللَّهُ حَقَّ. That we have found what our Lord has promised us to be true. Have you found what our Lord has promised to be true? And they said, Ya Rasulullah, how can they hear you? The Prophet ﷺ says, they hear you just like you can hear me. The Prophet ﷺ, right before this event in the migration, was praying in front of the Kaaba. When these people who are now deceased plotted against him and said to him, that said to each other, let's do something to the Prophet ﷺ. And they came with a plot to put over the Prophet ﷺ the dead stinking carcass intestines of a camel on his head in front of the Kaaba while he's praying in sajda so that he can't get up. After they killed all of these people of the believers, and after they tortured, they're doing this on top of him when he's worshipping. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, we couldn't do anything in Mecca because we were so weak. So I went to the daughter of the Prophet ﷺ and said that your father, this is what's happening to him. Just go take it off of his head so he can lift his head from prayer. So when Fatima gets there, can you imagine the Prophet ﷺ, her father, in sajda, in front of the Kaaba, between Rukn al-Yamani and Hajar al-Aswad. That's where the Prophet ﷺ used to pray. And the dead stinking carcass intestines of an animal on his head. And she takes it off. And the Prophet ﷺ finishes his salah. And he looks up at Quraysh. And they're laughing at him. After all the persecution. And he raises his hand and says, Allahumma alayka bi Quraysh. Allahumma alayka bi Abi Jahl. Allahumma alayka bi Utbah. Allahumma alayka bi Shaybah. Allahumma alayka bi Umayyah bin Khalaf. And he names every single one of them. And Abdullah ibn Mas'ud says that on the day of Badr, we found them just like that carcass they put on the hub of the Prophet ﷺ's head. That the dua of the Prophet ﷺ came true. In this victory, they went back to Medina. For the first time, free of persecution. Free of all of the 13 years of difficulty. For once, they felt at ease to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that, inshallah ta'ala, we will pray. Bidhnillah. And then we will continue. For those of you who are here, you're welcome to stay, inshallah, to hear the last part of our class, Prophetic Prayers, where we live the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam through his personal du'as. Everyone is welcome, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Oh, I'm sorry. You sure?
Assalamu alaikum. Sisters, if you could please take your stuff with you, inshallah, and you can stay in the back room, because inshallah, we just finish after salah, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair.
Sheikh.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله ونحن رسول الله سو صفوفكم وصدر خلال strain lines fill in the gaps heels on the line please make sure your cell phones are off الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا تلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بتغواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فعقروها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والليل إذا يغشى والنهار إذا تجلى وما خلق الذكر والأنثى إن سعيكم لشتى فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسنيسره لليسرى وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسنيسره للعسرى وما يغني عنه ماله إذا تردى إن علينا للهدى وإن لنا للآخرة والأولى فأنذرتكم نارا تلظى
لا يصلها إلا الأشقى الذي كذب وتولى وسيجنبها الأتقى الذي يؤتي ماله يتزكى وما لأحد عنده من نعمة تجزى إلا ابتغاء وجه ربه الأعلى ولسوف يرضى. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I want to remind everyone in the community that tomorrow we have two important events. One is before Salat al-Dhuhr, we have the quiz competition. And after Salat al-Dhuhr, we have... What do we have tomorrow after Salat al-Dhuhr? What is that called? Say it out loud. Why are you so shy saying it? Okay, Eid Carnival. After Asr, inshallah, Eid Carnival. So we have a lot of rides, we have a lot of activities. For the youth, we have a 3-point competition. So inshallah, I'll be participating in that, inshallah. So we have all that tomorrow, so please be here for that. Number two, brothers and sisters, please remember your brothers and sisters in your du'as, your brothers and sisters all over the world who are going through dhulm, who are going through oppression. As you know that in Kashmir, a lot of our brothers and sisters are under oppression, and the oppression has intensified in the past few days. Remember them in your du'as. At the same time, as you know that for those of you who have been following the news, there's a lot that is taking place in Turkey. So please remember the country of Turkey in your du'as, and anywhere where Muslims are and they're under oppression, please remember them in your du'as. Times like these are not easy. As Sheikh Hasib Noor was talking about today in the khutbah, that in times like this, we have to always remain optimistic. And hopelessness is something that does not exist in the vocabulary of a Muslim. So we keep this in mind. We consistently make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will inshallah and surely will come. Jazakumullah khair. And Sheikh Hasib Noor's program will continue after Salatul Sunnah. Jazakumullah khair. We'll continue now. Okay, so we're going to go ahead and continue now, because if we, it's going to get really late. So we're going to go ahead and start right now. This is a Bayina program. This is in the last, his program is right now in the last stages. So meaning that he started at 7 o'clock, and right now he is in the last stages of his program. So he'll be wrapping up his program right now. Jazakumullah khair.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're going to continue, inshallah ta'ala, and there's just a little bit left. Bismillah. To live the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through his personal prayers. Say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulillah. As we described, after the Battle of Badr, the Prophet ﷺ and the believers for the first time saw a moment of relief from the continuous onslaught of now over 15 years since the beginning of Islam. The Prophet ﷺ now, after seeing Abu Jahl and the leaders of these people that were non-stop making it their life's purpose to commit oppression against the Muslims in Mecca, as well as now in Medina, they were gone. The Prophet ﷺ, though, was not the one to have prayed against them. Rather, it was they who prayed against themselves. Before the Battle of Badr took place, Abu Jahl goes in front of the army, and he starts raising his hands and praying, saying, Allahumma in kana hadha huwa al-haq min indika ayyuma jaa bihi Muhammad fa'amtir alayna hijaratan min as-sama kama amtartaha ala qawmi Lut aw i'tina bi'adhabin aleem ay ba'dama a'adhabta bihi al-umam qablana. Abu Jahl goes in front of the army of 1300. They're outnumbering the Muslims 4-1. And he raises his hand and says, O Allah, if what this man Muhammad says is the truth, and if he came with the truth, then send down upon us stones and rains of stones like you sent upon the people of Lot. Or destroy us with a severe punishment like you've destroyed those before us. And they said, Ameen. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ, he stood over them. And he said, if you only believed. What did you have to lose? In Mecca, he said to them, if you believe in me, the Arab, all of them will love and honor you and make you their leaders. And the Ajam will honor you for your service to humanity. If you believe in me, it's only but honor for you. But they were so arrogant to not leave the false honor of their forefathers and their tribes and the suppression they had of over other people. So they made dua against themselves. And the Prophet ﷺ was watching over them. It says, نَحْنُ قَدْ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّنَا حَقَّ فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَنَا رَبُّكُمْ حَقَّ. That we have found the promise of our Lord to be true that He promised us. Have you found the promise of our Lord that He promised you to be true? And they did. And they did. After this, they go back to Medina. And in this time in Medina is now a time of final peace. After 15 long years to establish a society upon the obedience of Allah and freedom. It was right after this battle that the Prophet ﷺ went up to Ali, his cousin, that was raised in his house, and said to him, Ali, isn't it about time that you get married? Don't you have now some wealth? Because everybody that came from Mecca lost everything. He said that yes. He said, where is your dir' al-hat'amiyah? Where is that shield that you have? That's very, very, you know, expensive. And he said, it's, you know, I have it. He said, why don't you use that as mahr? And I will marry you, my daughter, Fatima radiallahu anha. And Ali was so happy because he didn't have the guts and courage to go up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though that's his cousin, and ask him for his daughter to marry. One of the funny things about Ali radiallahu anhu, even though we see in, unfortunately, in some movies and things like that, when they depict Ali radiallahu anhu, for some reason he looks always Persian. I mean, I'm Persian, but it's just weird, right? Alhamdulillah. But the point being is, they always depict him as, mashallah, like very tall and very built. Ali radiallahu anhu was known to have a stomach. A stomach. He was not like to the level of fit that people imagine. But he was very strong. But he was big boned, as they say. So when the Prophet ﷺ went to Fatima radiallahu anha and said that, what do you think about marrying Ali? He said, oh, that fat guy? She was joking in the sense of saying, what should I do with him, Ya Rasulullah? And the Prophet ﷺ knew that she was trying to show, obviously, her modesty and shyness. And the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And he knew that she obviously wanted to marry Ali radiallahu anhu, knowing his nobility, his courage, his character. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had them married, and when they were done with the ceremony, he told them, when you are in the home, allow me to enter. And he gave them advice. And he took some water and he sprayed it with his mouth on their face, playfully. And then he made a dua. He said, Allahumma barik fihima, وَبَارِكْ عَلَيْهِمَا وَبَارِكْ لَهُمَا فِي نَسْلِهِمَا. He said, oh Allah, bless them and bless what's between them and bless them in their children and progeny. Then Ali radiallahu anhu asked a question. He said, Ya Rasulullah, who do you love more? Me or Fatima? So the Prophet wasallam, he smiled and he said, I love Fatima and you're more honorable to me. Meaning my love and my honor is the same. This was a time of happiness for some limited portion of time. The following year, a few months, meaning after Ramadan, the following year, the third year, in the month of Shawwal. Imagine you've prayed Ramadan, the happiness of Ramadan. Eid is over. On the 8th of Shawwal, news reaches Medina that a force of 4,000 of the Qurayshis are now coming to attack Medina directly. The Prophet ﷺ amasses a force of 1,000 only and meets them at the northern border of Medina at a place known as the battle ground of Uhud, near the mountain of Uhud. The Prophet ﷺ, as he's getting ready to strategize how they can protect themselves, again being outnumbered 4-1, a battalion of 1/3 of the army, 300 of the soldiers who had horsemen, decides to leave. And they are at the head of it by Abdullah ibn Ubay al-Salul, the leader of the hypocrites. The leader of the hypocrites decides to leave. So you're just trying to get us killed. We're going to go defend our families in Medina. Complete lie. And they leave. It demoralizes the army. And the Prophet ﷺ is now faced with a demoralized army facing a now outnumbered more than 4-1 again. The Prophet ﷺ, to bring them honor and morale, he says to them, today I will give my sword to someone. And everyone becomes excited. Umar and Ali and Abu Bakr. And they're like, we're going to get it. I'm Ali. Right? And when the other one says, no, I'm Umar. Of course I'm going to get it. And Abu Bakr says, I'm going to get it. I'm Abu Bakr. The Prophet ﷺ says, where is Abu Dujana? And they're like, who's Abu Dujana? Abu Dujana was known to be a very fierce warrior. And he says to him, tell him to come forth. So he says to him, I will only give you my sword if you use it with its right. And he says, yes, Ya Rasulullah. And he gives it to him. Abu Dujana had this habit of putting a red bandana on, and then he started doing a war dance in front of the entire army with the sword of the Prophet. So yes, we have the sword, yes, we have the sword. So when he's doing it, everybody starts laughing and cracking up, and the Prophet ﷺ himself smiles. Now their morale has gone up, that we have the sword of the Prophet ﷺ. And when he does this, he says to Abu Dujana, Abu Dujana, usually Allah hates this kind of boastful arrogance dancing, except for today, where you've made the believers happy. What did the Prophet ﷺ mean that I will only give you the sword if you use it with its right? During the battle, when the battle happened, the believers, the Muslims, were winning the battle, even though they were outnumbered. And during that battle, they said that Abu Dujana, any person that would come in front of him is gone, pretty much. That's it. He said that he came in front of Qurashi women who had come to that battle, and he raised the sword of the Prophet ﷺ, and then he lowered it, and he walked away. Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, one of the closest companions to the Prophet ﷺ, said that, I really didn't know why the Prophet gave Abu Dujana the sword until I saw that. He said, I realized that the sword of the Prophet would never be used against the innocent. And he used the sword of the Prophet and gave it its right. And I realized that's why the Prophet chose him. This innocent woman, non-combatant, was not hurt while they were defending their values and their faith and their religion against an onslaught of an army who wanted to decimate and annihilate Medina. He never hurt them. Even though that woman, you know what her name was? Her name was Hind bint Utbah, who in the same battle had brought a slave, and shortly moments after this, had that slave killed the most beloved person to the Prophet ﷺ, his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. And when that slave killed Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, she came and mutilated his body and took out his liver and bit his liver out of absolute vengeance. Why? Because Hamza had killed her father in the battle of Badr. This is what she did. This is the person that Abu Dujana did not kill. In the same battle, this battle, shortly thereafter. Because why? The sword of the Prophet ﷺ will never be used against his right. In this battle, the Prophet ﷺ, as we said, told the companions one thing. He put 70 archers in a mountain next to Uhud and said to them, don't come off of this mountain, even if you see our bodies being pecked by birds, meaning dead. Don't come off of this mountain until I give you word. And what happened is, as they were pushing away Quraysh, they thought the battle ended. And they came off of the mountain. When they came off the mountain, Khalid ibn al-Walid, a companion who was one of the greatest generals in human history, and was not a Muslim at that time, flanked the Prophet ﷺ around the mountain, and did exactly what the Prophet did not want to happen, which is to fight on two fronts with a large army. He attacked them from behind, and then the Qurashi, seeing that, raised their flags and attacked them from the front. The Prophet ﷺ was now being crushed from two different sides. To the extent there was chaos in the army, and word got out, Muhammad is dead. I killed Muhammad, one of them screams. And the companions have never heard something like that in their entire life. Some of them run away. Some of them put their swords down. Some of them start crying. Some of them, because of the chaos, of fighting, they kill another companion. The father of Hudhayfa, Al-Yaman, is killed in this battle by friendly fire. And the Prophet ﷺ, no one knows what happened to him. Immediately, one of the companions by the name of Anas ibn Nadr stands up and says, "What is wrong with you? If you claim to live for why the Prophet ﷺ lived, then die for why he died for. Protecting and defending yourself." And he runs into the battle. And he becomes a martyr with over 80 wounds on his body. This battle ends with them pushing the Prophet ﷺ out and climbing the mountain of Uhud, where they can't find the Prophet ﷺ. And word gets out that the Prophet is alive. Who was defending the Prophet at that time? A woman by the name of Ammara. A woman was defending the Prophet ﷺ. She had her face covered, and she gets hit and has two blows on her body. And the Prophet ﷺ, at the end of the battle, says, "Who is this person who is defending me? Uncover your face." When she uncovered her face, it was Ammara radiallahu anha, Nusayba. And who was defending him was the Ansar, the people of Medina. They had two circles around him, one facing him as if saying, "My body, but not the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." And one facing away from him, defending him while they were attacking. And in this battle, a person by the name of Ibn Qami'ah reaches the Prophet and hits him over his head, cracks his helmet, and the chains from his helmet break through his skin, and cracks his molar teeth and breaks it, and iron gets stuck in his cheek, and his head starts bleeding. And he's in this battle, and he wipes the blood off of his forehead, and he looks up and he says, "Oh Allah, how can a people want to kill a man who just wants to bring them to the truth, who wants guidance for them?" Allah immediately reveals the verse to him, saying to him, "Laysa laka min al-amri fi shay." That this affair of ours, it's not in your hands. Whose guidance is for who, and whose guidance is deserving of the most? Then the Prophet ﷺ raises his hands and he makes dua. He says, "Allahumma hdi qawmi fa innahum la ya'lam." Oh Allah, guide my people because they don't know. This isn't you peacefully in the house. This is at the moment of attack. Can you do that? Can you do that? You're being attacked physically. And you raise your hand and say, "Oh Allah, guide them because they don't know." Someone is being bigoted against you. Can you do that? Can you do that? Ask yourself this. Someone attacks your wife, your sister, your daughter, whoever. Can you pray for them? This is the prophetic manner. That you defend, but you still pray for their guidance. If you would ask a normal human being, say, "You guys are crazy." But this is what Islam teaches. This religion teaches that we're all here as the trustees of Allah to bring benefit to humanity. To bring benefit to humanity. Taking the people from the worship of creation and materialism to the worship of Allah, which will bring you freedom. This is what the Prophet ﷺ taught. After this battle, he had to bury a number of his most beloved family. He gathers all of his companions and he says to them, "Line up so that I can pray to Allah." He says, "Stow hatta uthni alayya Rabbi azza wa jal." Line up so that I can offer thanks and praise my Lord. This is mind-numbing to me. That you've been attacked. They've killed 70 companions in this battle. They almost won, but they lost because of a mistake of the companions that Allah forgave. And he says what? He says, "Line in rows so that we can raise our hands and thank Allah." And he says, "Allahumma laka alhamdu kullu. Allahumma la qabida lima basat, wala basita lima qabat, wala hadiya liman adlalt, wala mudilla liman hadait, wala mu'tiya lima mana'at, wala mani'a lima a'tait, wala muqarriba lima ba'at, wala mub'ida lima qarrabt. Allahumma absut alayna min barakatika wa rahmatika wa fadlika wa rizqika." He says, "Oh Allah, yours is all praise and thanks. Allah, no one can withhold what you permit or permit what you withheld. No one can guide whom you misguide, and no one can misguide whom you guide. No one can grant any provision from what you've withheld. And no one can withhold what you grant. No one can be near what you ordain to be distant, or detach anyone you ordain to be close and near. O Allah, grant us your blessings. O Allah, grant us your mercy. O Allah, grant us your favors. O Allah, grant us your provisions. The Prophet ﷺ then turns and he sees his uncle Hamza radiallahu anhu. And they say, we never heard the Prophet shriek and cry more than the day he saw his uncle Hamza. Out of just sadness. They bury Hamza radiallahu anhu and the rest of the 70 shuhada by the mountain of Uhud. To this day you can visit them. Mus'ab ibn Umair dies in this battle. Abdullah ibn Jahsh dies in this battle. Al-Yaman, the father of Hudhayfa, dies in this battle. And Hamza radiallahu anhu and the other 70 died in this battle. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returns back to Medina to carry on. To carry on and never lose hope. مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. We will never forsake you, nor will we have our wrath against you. وَلَلْآخِرَةُ خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنَ الْأُولَى. And the future will always be better than the present. وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. And your Lord will keep giving you until you're pleased. He never forgot that message. He carried on. Then there was a caravan which the Prophet ﷺ sent a battalion in order to thwart. Among that battalion was one of his brothers from breastfeeding. His name was Abu Salama. He died from his wounds in Medina. The Prophet ﷺ went to Salama, his wife, Abu Salama's wife, and said to her that, don't do something which is displeasing to your Lord. Don't wail out which is displeasing to your Lord. Rather, that if you have lost, and if any Muslim suffers from some calamity, they should do what Allah has commanded them to do. Say, Inna lillah wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhlif li khayran minha. Anyone who's lost something, say this. And he taught this to Salama because she was so sad. She was so depressed. She was such in a state of anguish over losing her beloved husband Abu Salama. The Prophet ﷺ said to her, say if you suffer a calamity and Allah will replace it for you. We belong to Allah and to Him we shall return. O Allah, reward me for my affliction and give me something better than it in exchange for it. Salama, she said, when the Prophet taught me this dua, when Abu Salama died, she said, what Muslim is better than Abu Salama, whose family was the first to migrate to the Messenger of Allah? I then said the dua the Prophet taught me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the Messenger of Allah in exchange. She married the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after this. She said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Hatib to deliver me the message of marriage to me. And I said to him, I have a daughter that will be dependent. And I have a severe jealousy problem. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as far as the daughter is concerned, we will supplicate to Allah and we'll take her responsibility. And I will also supplicate to Allah to remove your jealousy. The Prophet ﷺ in this period of time taught his companions what it means to connect to Allah and to sacrifice for Allah and to live for Allah and to provide for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his sujood, he would always say, Allahumma ighfir li dhanbi kullah, diqqahu wa jillah, wa awwalahu wa akhirah, wa alaniyatihi wa sirrah. He would say in his prostration, O Allah, forgive all of my sins, the small and the great, the first and the last, the open and the secret. He would say to his companions about prosperity and wealth, that if you have any debt, if you have any difficulty in your provision, say, Allahumma kfini bihalalika an haramik wa aghnini bifadlika amman siwak. O Allah, suffice me with your lawful against your prohibited, and make me independent of anyone besides you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide for you. He taught them that you should say, Allahumma atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina azab an-nar. O Allah, grant us the best of what you can in this dunya, and grant us the best of what you can in the akhirah, and save us from the punishment of the hellfire. They said this was one of the du'as the Prophet taught us the most, and he would say it the most. The Prophet ﷺ would tell them to say, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-huda wa-tuqa wal-afafa wal-ghina. O Allah, I ask you for guidance, for piety, for chastity, and to be self-sufficient. The Prophet ﷺ had taught his companions personal du'as. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet ﷺ one day and said, Ya Rasulullah, teach me a du'a so I can call Allah with it in my prayers. Who's asking? The best one after Rasulullah ﷺ. To whom? The best worshipper of Allah. The one who called with to Allah with sincerity. What does he say to him? Say, Ya Abu Bakr, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi zulman kathira. وَلَا يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ فَاغْفِرْ لِي مِنْ عِنْدِكَ مَغْفِرَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. O Allah, I have wronged my soul a lot, كثير, and none forgives sins except you. So bestow upon me forgiveness from you. Not any forgiveness, I want forgiveness from you. No doubt you are the oft forgiving, the most merciful. This is one of the most beloved du'as to me. And I encourage you to always memorize all of this. The Prophet ﷺ would teach his family du'as. And he would teach his children du'as. And he would teach his ummah du'as for every day in this Medinan period. They would say that the Prophet taught us the du'a of istikhara, the consultation prayer, like he would teach us a chapter from the Quran. Anytime you want to do something, recite this du'a. If you can't pray 2 rak'ah, at least recite the du'a. Allahumma inni astakhiruka bi'ilmik wa astaqdiruka biqudratik, until the end of the du'a. For anything. So you can live the life of the Prophet ﷺ in du'a. After this, the Prophet ﷺ in the 6th year hijrah went to Mecca in order to do the umrah. And he was prevented by Quraysh. And told by them that we will not allow you to do umrah. And you have to go back. He came with 1,400. And he had told them, we will do Umrah this year. So when they were prevented, they signed a pact called the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. That you will not do Umrah this year, you will do Umrah next year. And if anyone accepts Islam in Mecca, they are not allowed to migrate to you. And whoever leaves Islam from Medina, they're allowed to leave in peace and come to Mecca. Complete oppression. But the Prophet signed. You know why? Because they said, we sign this charter of peace amongst us. Peace. No more attack. For a significant period of time. Umar was upset. He said, Ya Rasulullah, didn't you tell us that we're going to do Umrah? The Prophet ﷺ said, did I say this year, Umar? Allah said, we will, and we will, inshaAllah. Umar said, I felt so bad that for the following years and many years after that, I kept giving charity and praying extra and fasting extra because of what I told the Prophet ﷺ. I felt so bad about what I said. When they were on their way back to Medina, everybody's sad. They didn't get to do Umrah. They were prevented from their homes. But Allah revealed a verse which was the greatest conquest in the history of Islam. Allah revealed an entire chapter of the Quran called The Conquest. إِنَّا فَتَحْنَا لَكَ فَتْحًا مُبِينًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we have indeed given you a manifest conquest. When the Prophet recited to them, he smiled and they were amazed. How is this a conquest? Because Islam came to be spread under the accord of peace. If there is peace, Islam was spread. This is exactly what happened. The following 2 years, people started coming in droves to Islam, to the extent that just 2 years later, in Ramadan, in the 20th, the Prophet ﷺ comes back to Mecca. with not 1,400, with 10,000. And Quraysh cannot even go against him. And he comes into the city with his head so lowered in humility and humbleness. The same city that kicked him out, the same city that killed his companions, the same city that oppressed him, the same city that did all of this. He's entering it in humility, almost in a state of sajda as he's going in. They're so afraid of what he's going to do to them. He asked them, Ya Quraysh, what do you think I will do with you? They say, you're the generous, the son of the most generous. Basically, take it easy on us. You could annihilate us. It was a natural, human, unfortunate practice in that time that nations, when they conquered others, they annihilated them. Look at the history. Look at what happened to Andalus. Over almost 1,000 years later, look at what happened. Decimated. But the Prophet ﷺ said to them, I say to you what Yusuf ﷺ said, لا تثريب عليكم اليوم. There is no blame upon you today. اذهبوا أنتم الطلقاء. Go for you are free. And when they saw that generosity, they accepted Islam. Abu Sufyan, who held out to this point, and his wife Hind, who killed the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ and ate his liver, finally said to each other, isn't it about time we accept? Isn't it about time? And she goes and gives her pledge to the Prophet ﷺ. When they saw that, they said, well, remember the sword of Abu Dujana? They said, Sadaqa Rasulullah ﷺ. The Prophet was truthful. The Prophet was truthful. The Prophet ﷺ spent, after this, a very short while with the companions in a battle of Hunayn in the 8th year as well. And the end of this battle, the Prophet ﷺ gathered all of the companions in the thousands. And the Meccans were getting all of the war booty. And the Ansar didn't get anything. Like, paltry compared to the Meccans. So they were upset. Where's our peace? So the Prophet ﷺ said, bring the Ansar. So they said, Aus or Khazraj? Those are the two tribes. And he said, bring all of them. So they all came. And when they were in front of the Prophet ﷺ, he said, هَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ عَلَيَّ فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَلَمْ آتِكُمْ ضَلَالًا فَهَدَاكُمُ اللَّهِ. He's like, do you find something in your heart for what I've done? Weren't you misguided and Allah guided you? وَعَالَةً فَأَعْنَاكُمُ اللَّهِ فَأَغْنَاكُمُ اللَّهِ. And you were poor in poverty and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you wealth. وَأَعْدَاءً فَأَلَّفَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. You used to fight each other. Aus and Khazraj fought a 40-year war over a camel before the Prophet ﷺ. You were enemies and Allah made you brothers. They all said, بَلَا وَاللَّهِ وَرَسُولُهُ آمَنَّ وَأَفْضَلُ. Yes, Allah and His Messenger are more truthful and better than us. The Prophet ﷺ says, أَلَا تُجِيبُنِينِ يَا مَعْشَرَ الْأَنصَارِ. Aren't you going to answer me, O Ansar? And the companion said, بِمَاذَ نُجِيبُكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لِلَّهِ وَلِرَسُولِهِ الْمَنُّ وَالْفَضْلُ. What are we going to answer you with the Prophet ﷺ? All blessing, all favors that we have belong to Allah and His Messenger. We were wrong. We're sorry. At the end of it, the Prophet ﷺ says to them, فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسِ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَوْلَا الْهِجْرَةُ لَكُنْتُ أَمْرًا إِمْرَأً مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ وَلَوْ سَلَكَ النَّاسُ شِعْبًا وَسَلَكْتُ الْأَنصَارَ شِعْبًا وَسَلَكْتُ الشِّعْبَ الْأَنصَارَ اللَّهُمَّ ارْحَمَ الْأَنصَارَ وَأَبْنَاءَ الْأَنصَارَ وَأَبْنَاءَ أَبْنَاءَ الْأَنصَارَ. That I swear by the one who holds Muhammad's soul in his hand, if it wasn't for the migration, I would have been an Ansari. And if the people went a path, I would have taken the path of the Ansar, your path. O Allah, have mercy on the Ansar and the children of the Ansar and the children of the children of the Ansar. Mahyaya hayatukum wa mamati mamatukum. My life is with you and my death is with you. And he said to them that أَمَا رَضِيْتُمْ أَنَّ النَّاسِ ذَهَبُوا بِالشَّاتِ وَالْبَعِيرِ وَأَنْتُمْ تَرْجِعُونَ إِلَىٰ رِحَالِكُمْ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. He's like, aren't you happy that people got paltry wealth? They got camels and they got golden coins and silver and sheep, and you're going back to Medina with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. All of the Ansar started to cry and weep. And they said, رَضِينَا بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ قَسَمًا. We're pleased with having the Prophet as our share. And they go back to Medina. Shortly thereafter, the Prophet ﷺ starts to get sick. And this sickness is something he suffered for 4 years. After he was poisoned in the Battle of Khaybar. When he was poisoned, this poison was stopped from affecting his body. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not allow it to affect his body. But every year, he had to do hijama, which is cupping, so that poison can be taken out from affecting him. And in the end of his life, he announces to Mu'adh radiallahu anhu arda, that, oh Mu'adh, I'm going to send you to Yemen in order for you to teach the people, because they just accepted Islam in hordes. The entire country of Yemen accepted Islam without any kind of fighting or anything. They all accepted Islam. So we wanted to send 10 companions, among them Mu'adh ibn Jabal. When he sent him, he held the reins of his horse and he walked with him as he was seeing him off. And he said, Ya Mu'adh, لَعَلَّكَ أَلَّا تَلْقَانِ بَعْدَ عَامِ هَذَا. Ya Mu'adh, لَعَلَّكَ أَن تَمُرَّ عَلَىٰ قَبْرِ وَمَسْجِدِي. O Mu'adh, you may not see me after this year again. This may be the last time you see me, O Mu'adh. O Mu'adh, you may pass by the next time only at my grave and my masjid. O Mu'adh, you're going to face a people who are the people of the book. So call them to the oneness of God. And if they accept from you, call them to the prayer. And if they accept from you, then call them to alms and charity. And if they accept from you, call them to the fasting of Ramadan. And if they accept from you, call them to the Hajj if they have the ability to do. When you take from them, don't take from their best. Then don't take from their worst. Take from the middle. O Mu'adh, I love you. And Mu'adh says, I love you too, Ya Rasulullah. He said that make sure that when you pray 5 times a day, make sure that you say after every prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me and assist me in your remembrance. And help me and assist me in your thankfulness and being grateful. And help me and assist me to do the best type of worship that I can do. And then he never sees the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again. He leaves and he never sees the face of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets ready for the farewell pilgrimage. And in that farewell pilgrimage, he enters Mecca with 120,000 people. And Umar radiallahu anhu sees the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam come to the black stone in Ihram. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kisses the black stone and he starts to weep until his blessed face is covered in tears. That the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has spread in Mecca. The Prophet ﷺ goes back and does tawaf. And the Prophet ﷺ goes on the same mountain of Safa that he was rejected. And he looks at his people and he looks at the Kaaba and he raises his hands and he makes dua. He says, La ilaha illallah wahda, anjaza wa'da, wa nasara abda, wa hazama al-ahzaba wahda. Is that there's no God except Allah alone who has fulfilled His promise and has given victory to His servant. And He has destroyed the Confederates who committed oppression. On the same mountain He was humiliated, Allah brought Him victory. On the same mountain, every one of us will make that same dua to remember that there isn't a spot in Mecca left, even in the home of Abu Jahl, except now there's a believer saying Subhana Rabbi al-A'la and making sajda. There isn't a spot in Medina, including the homes of the companions, except there's a believer saying La ilaha illallah and asking and making dua. The Prophet ﷺ takes them to Arafat. And on that day he says to them, Ayyuhan nas, O people, listen to what I have to say. For I do not know whether I will ever meet you at this place after this year. Your blood and your property and honor are sacred as this day, this month, and this city. Behold, all practices of ignorance are now under my feet. The blood revenge of the days of ignorance are remitted. The first claim of blood that I abolish is that of Ibn Rabi'ah ibn Harith. And I make a beginning by remitting the amount of interest which Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib has to receive. It is gone entirely. People, fear Allah concerning your women. Verily you have taken them on a covenant of Allah and security, and have made them lawful for you by the word of Allah. It is obligatory on you to honor their rights and not to commit any acts of indecency, which if they do, you have authority to chastise them, yet not severely. If your wives refrain from and are faithful to you, then provide for them and feed them suitably. I have left among you two things, the book of Allah. If you hold fast to it, you shall never go astray. O people, I am not succeeded by a prophet, and you are not succeeded by any nation. So I ask you that you worship your Lord, to pray the five prayers, to fast during Ramadan, to offer your zakat and your provision willingly. I recommend you to perform the pilgrimage to the house of Allah, and to obey those who are in charge of you, and you will be awarded with the entrance to paradise by your Lord. And when you are asked about me, what are you going to say? They all replied, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَغْتَ وَأَدَّيْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ. We bear witness that you have conveyed the message and you have fulfilled it. And the Prophet ﷺ, in that moment of fulfillment, raises his hands and makes dua. And he says, Allahumma ashhad. O Allah, be a witness. Then the Prophet ﷺ, after that speech, Allah reveals the Quran and says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum deenakum. وَأَتْمَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعْمَتِي وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينًا. This day I have perfected your religion for you, completed my favor upon you, and have chosen you Islam as your religion. When Umar radiallahu anhu heard this verse, he started to weep. And the Prophet ﷺ said, what makes you cry, Umar ibn al-Khattab? He said that nothing succeeds perfection except that it becomes imperfect after it. Knowing that this was a sign of the passing of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet ﷺ returns back to Medina, and his situation gets worse. Allah commands him to visit the graveyard of the martyrs of Uhud. And he goes there one final time, giving them his salam and his prayers. Then he goes to the graveyard of Medina, Al-Baqir, with a young man who used to be one of his servants, Abu Muwayhiba, and says to him, that, oh Abu Muwayhiba, let us make dua for the people of Baqi. And he prays for them, and he makes dua for them. And he says, Allahumma ghafir li ahl al-Baqi al-Gharqad. Oh Allah, forgive the people of Baqi. And then he says to him, oh Abu Muwayhiba, what do you think about a man that is given a choice between to stay in this world and be a king, or to choose the hereafter? And Abu Muwayhiba was so smart. He knows his prophet. He said, no, Ya Rasulullah, don't leave us. Stay here, stay a king. Stay with us, and then you can go to the hereafter. And the Prophet ﷺ says to him, no, Abu Muwayhiba, I have chosen to be with Allah and to go to the hereafter. He comes back, and in those final moments of his sickness, that lasted another week or 2 weeks, the Prophet ﷺ, in his very final moments, is making dua. He says, Allahumma innaka ta'khudh ar-ruh min bayn al-asbi wal-anami wal-qasr fa'inni 'alayhi wa hawwin 'alayya la ilaha illa ant inna lil-mauti lasakarat. O Allah, you're the one who takes the soul from us, and you're the one who can help me in this moment, so make it easy for me. There's no god except you. Death truly has pain. And he kept repeating in his final moments, Allahumma inni ala sakarati al-maut. O Allah, make the pangs of death easy for me. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. Allahumma ghfirli warhamni. O Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, have mercy on me. And Aisha radiallahu anha said that in his final moments, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I knew he was being given the choice when he looked at the sky and he said, Allahumma fir rafiq al-a'la. The one thing he wanted in his life, from that moment when he was yearning for Allah climbing on Jabal al-Nur, the one thing that kept him going every single day, the one thing that pushed him through the difficulty of losing his family, his companions, his wealth, physically being hurt, choked 3 times, burying 2 of his wives, burying 6 of his own children with his own hands. The one thing that made him keep going, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave it to him. Oh Allah, the highest of companionship. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hand fell, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to the highest companionship. Brothers and sisters, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in final lived his entire life, as you know, from the moment and before his birth until he passed away, embodying the message of Quran in servitude, living the message of the Quran of worship of Allah every day in personal dua, yearning for Allah, calling to Allah with his heart, yearning to be in his company. No tragedy, no hardship could ever remove that from him. And he said one day when he was sitting around with his companions in the Rawda, he said, وَدِدْتُ أَنِّي لَقِيتُ إِخْوَانِي. He said, I wish I could meet my brothers, the companions. Who's sitting there? Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. He said, aren't we your companions? Aren't we your brothers, Ya Rasulullah? The Prophet ﷺ said, أَنْتُمْ أَصْحَابِي. He said that you're my companions. إِخْوَانِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِي وَلَمْ يَرَوْنِي. My brothers are those who believe in me, but they haven't seen me. I miss them. I wish I could see them. Who's he talking about? He's talking about you and I. The Prophet ﷺ has said in one of the most beloved hadith to me, he said that the most beloved to me of my nation are those who believe in me, and they would give everything they own and their wealth just to be able to see me, but they can't. I love them the most. Who is he talking about? He's talking about you and you. If you tell me I give everything you own to just see the Prophet, I would do it, and you would do it too. He said, I love you the most. The question is, how much do you love Rasulullah? How much do you connect with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How much do you live his message on a day-to-day basis? I leave you with a dua. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Mas'ud one day when he was praying, and he said to him, whatever he's praying for, Allah granted it. And Abu Bakr was so happy, he waited for him to finish. Everybody had left except Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He finished his salah, he said, what did you pray for? What did you pray? Because the Prophet ﷺ said, whatever you prayed for, Allah granted it for you. He said, I said, Allahumma inni as'aluka imanan la yartad, wa na'iman la yanfad, wa murafaqata Muhammadin fi a'la jannatil khuld. Oh Allah, I ask you for firm faith that does never revert, and faith and blessings that never end, and the companionship of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the highest levels of paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked the man, what do you want? His name was Rabi'ah ibn Ka'b. He said, I want one thing, Ya Rasulullah. I want your companionship in paradise. This is what the companions wanted. He said to him, is that it? He said, that's it. That's all I want. He said, help me then to achieve this for you by devoting yourself, by doing a lot of sajda. Do a lot of sajda. Pray a lot. Connect to Allah. The Prophet said the closest you can be to Allah is in sajda, so increase doing dua in it. And you can make dua in any language. Make dua in any language. Call to Allah with your heart like the Prophet called. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam embodied that message. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would pray for us. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved to meet us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that what we have learned, to accept it and to allow us to practice and implement it, Ya Rabbil Alameen. اللهم لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه. اللهم لك الحمد للإسلام، اللهم لك الحمد للإيمان، اللهم لك الحمد بأننا مؤمنين، اللهم لك الحمد بأننا مسلمين، اللهم لك الحمد لأننا متبع نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Allah, we thank you for our Islam, we thank you for our Iman, we thank you for allowing us to be the followers of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Allah, our sins are many and your mercy is vast, so forgive us and grant us your mercy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, we call to you with the sincereness that we have in our hearts, with Tawheed, with Islam. We ask you by our Iman, we ask you by our love to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and for you, O Allah, grant us Jannah, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, grant us Jannah. O Allah, grant us ease in this life. O Allah, forgive us in our parents, in our spouses, in our children. O Allah, make us of those who are the best of your worshippers, of your Dhakireen, of your Shakireen, of your Tawabeen, Munibeen, and Mitwa'een. O Allah, make us of those who call to you, yearning for you every single day. O Allah, don't make the affairs of this dunya make us lose hope. O Allah, don't make us have a burden more than we can bear. O Allah, don't give us trials like the trials of those you gave before us. O Allah, you're the only one we call to with all of our hearts. You're the only God that we have. You're the only Lord that we seek. You're the only one who understands us. You're the only one who is closer to us than our own mothers and our own fathers. You're the only one who knows us better than we know our own selves. We call to you. We ask you. We plead to you. O Allah, grant us your companionship in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest levels of paradise. O Allah, grant us the companionship of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the highest levels of paradise, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, make the affairs of this ummah easy, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, allow us to see it shining brightness in the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Allah, grant us and all of our Muslim brothers and sisters ease. Grant this community ease. Grant this city ease. Grant this state ease. O Allah, make us of those who are the shining lights of example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life in our actions before our statements. Make of those who live us and his guidance in our lives, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, allow us to lift the oppression and injustices we see every day in our lives, in our racism, in our prejudice and bigotry towards others. O Allah, make us of those who are sincere to you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, lift the oppression from our brothers and sisters in Turkey, Ya Rabbil Samawati wal Ard. O Allah, unite them upon the truth. O Allah, remove from them their treacherous and their wicked and their oppressors. O Allah, unite them and don't cause discord among them. O Allah, make them firm for those who are standing for the truth and against the oppressors. O Allah, lift the oppression against our brothers and sisters in Palestine and in Syria and in Iraq and in Kashmir and in Afghanistan and in Chechnya and in all of the world where people are suffering. O Allah, make it easy upon them. O Allah, they don't have any clothes, so clothe them. O Allah, they don't have any food, so give them food. O Allah, they don't have anyone to call to except you, and you're the only one who hears them, Ya Rabbil Alameen. Make it easy for them. Have mercy on the orphans. Have mercy on the tears of mothers who lose their children. O Allah, our sins are lifted to you while you send us your tranquility and mercy. Don't forbid Ummat Muhammad because of the evil that we do. Make us sincere worshippers that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to be. Allow us to call to you with our hearts, Ya Rabbil Alameen. O Allah, as long as you're not angry with us, then nothing matters to us. Well, except from us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi. Jazakum Allah khair for everybody attending. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I thank Masjid Plano for having patience with me of going an hour over the time. And inshallah, may Allah gather us all again in a better place.
Assalamu alaikum wa barakatuh. First of all, Jazakum Allah khair to Sheikh Haseeb Noor for coming. We just want to inform you all that tomorrow morning after Salat al-Fajr, Sheikh Haseeb Noor has a khatra at the Allen Masjid. He has a khatra at the Allen Masjid after Salat al-Fajr. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.